Blog Talk Radio.
Standing by with John Wall and more.
Thank you, Mark. A very emotional John Wall. John, I wanna feel what you're feeling right now. Tell me what you're feeling.
I ain't going home. Don't come to my city wearing all black, talking about it's a funeral. We worked too hard for this. And all we asked for is a game 7, 50-50. And that's all we asked for. We grew up these are unbelievable fans. Now without these guys, we wouldn't win this game.
The game winning.
And that is tonight, people. Welcome to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, Soul in Sports. Best and worst of the weekend, and I tell you right here, right now, John Wall, as I said it time and time and time again, baby LeBron steps up tonight, the greatest words in professional sports, Game 7, Boston Celtics, Washington Wizards. But as always, people, first, the particulars, 347-637-3859. Somebody to call in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter by the name of the show, Soul, S-O-U-L, capital letter, N, Sports. Also follow me, yours truly, I am loud, I speak loud, and damn it, I follow with all capital letters because it is Mike Knox with three X's because I am hardcore. But people, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and simply I wear it this way. You heard it. Matter of fact, listen to it again.
Hill and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three. John Wall! Oh, what a shot!
His first ever go-ahead bucket in the final seconds of any game. Playoffs, regular season, preseason, hell, even back to high school, John Wall has never done it, but he did it this time. John Wall, Washington Wizards, tonight, Boston Celtics in Boston. It's not the Boston Garden. It's not the Garden. Give me a beer. No, they have no kind of history there that should be mentioned other than the big three that are ostracizing baby Jesus himself and Jesus Soulsworth. So Boston, they should not be concerned. I mean, the Washington Wizards should not be concerned, if you will, about it being in Boston. Go in there and show out. Show up to show out. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, Golden State Warriors, San Antonio Spurs, the NBA, before the Friday game happened with the Washington Wizards in Boston, asked for some compelling playoffs. Well, you got it on Friday. You got it again yesterday on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, belated to all the mothers out there listening right now, but you got it as the Golden State Warriors, the most hated team in sports since the Miami Heat. Comeback, 23 points down, just demolishes San Antonio because they lost who I believe, well, not I, but him, he will be on the second. Amy Richardson believes is the real MVP of the NBA. Kawhi Leonard goes down. Much to talk about that. Was it dirty or was it not dirty? We shall talk about that. Can San Antonio do it without Kawhi? That is the question. Also, best and worst of the weekend. Was it Derek Jeter going into the Yankees Ring of Fame, or whatever the hell they want to call it? As my Uncle Richard said on Facebook, he said, soon the Yankees are going to run out of numbers. All the people that they've retired. Also, the NFL over and unders came out. And also, the cover boy. That's right, people. It's Madden season is upon us. We're just 4 months away from the greatest sports game of all. And I tell you this much, all Patriot haters are ecstatic right now because they believe in the John Madden curse. But Tom Brady says, not so fast.
Look, I think it's safe to say we've gone a bit overboard. There's no curse, and there's no need for this bubble. This thing's ridiculous. Chase, I know it's only your second week here, man. I love the effort, and I love your creativity. But come on, guys, a TB12 performance safety bubble? The past 2 weeks of my life have sucked. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't even train. We're better than this. You're better than this. We started TB12 to change the way we take care of our bodies, to help people achieve and sustain their peak performance, whatever that means in their life, to keep people on the field.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. If I'm going to play till I'm 65.
70.
70. I'm 75, it's because I'm willing to fight and die for my right to play this game. Look, we're a team. Look around. We've been at this for 15 years. You guys are my day one.
I love you.
Muscle pliability. Proper hydration.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you guys want to believe in curses, get the hell out. There's the door right now. Get out.
I'm not leaving.
But not here.
Not over here.
Not at TB12. Now, Chase?
Yeah.
Get me out of this freaking bubble, man.
Tom, I'm sorry. You're right. But I have a plan B. Presenting the TB12 Performance Safety Zone. A much bigger, better bubble that will allow a full range of motion. You can train in there. You can have visiting hours from your wife and kids.
Commercial. I love TB12 and that commercial. Let's talk about it. Let's be about it. But as always, I'm not here by myself. I'm here with the crew. This is the Barbershop where Barbershop Talk Meets Radio. So welcome into the Barbershop. What's going on, Micah? Amy Richard on the Twitter.
Oh my gosh. This right here is why people think of Boston, what they think of them. You know when Adam Jones came out and said he got called something? You know, he cried because he got called a name because he was in Boston. And we know Boston has his history. You know, Boston, you know, at the time was so charged with that kind of rhetoric that they shot a black dude and it started an entire Revolutionary War. I'm just saying, at least some of the stuff they do up there, possibly. But this guy, Tom Brady, Thomas Horatio Rodriguez Brady, okay? Dude, making that commercial, I can't wait until the Madden curse not only takes him down, but takes out Gronk, takes out Edelman, takes somebody on the offensive line that's interested to the team, gives Bill Belichick some kind of migraine because, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what the pundits tell you, the Madden curse is a real thing. And ever since it's truly been active, three things that I can for sure tell you has happened. The person on the cover gets injured, all right? The person on the cover gets injured or has a bad season. The team that person on the cover has a bad season or that somebody interested on the team gets injured. And the third thing is that the front office or the administrative staff does something stupid. And they try to be funny and put two people on the cover, the Steelers and Arizona Cardinals. Guess what? Both Fitzgerald and Polamalu had bad seasons, had not great seasons, and I believe both of them had injuries. So you can say what you want, Tom Brady. You can call it the GOAT edition. It's going to be the greatest of all-time injuries.
Thomas, what is his name? Horacio Rodriguez Brady.
Horacio Rodriguez Brady. You want to know why I call him Horacio? Because Tom looks like that dude that takes off his glasses in CSI Miami. He looks like the kind of arrogant buzzard that would take off his glasses just to say one line for the yell for the who to yell at. Wow! At the end of a daggone line. I'm sorry. I'm there right now with that commercial.
We will talk about that commercial later, but it's all about one thing and one thing here in the DMV. Let's play it again. I never get tired of it.
Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three. John Wall! Oh, what a shot!
I can't get tired of hearing it. I refuse to get tired of hearing it. I cannot wait for game 7 tonight. It's going down. But our own Solon Sports, a.k.a. Urban Sports Scene, was in the building. Wally, wow! How was the city electrified by the most electrifying point guard in the Eastern Conference?
Man, everybody was excited. I mean, that moment was something special. Just watching them take that shot, I mean, they were down two, and just watching how it was set up, because the play was set up for Bradley Beal, and the Celtics, you know, they defended it pretty well. And just to see how, you know, John Wall gets the ball, takes a couple of dribbles, I'm thinking to myself, all right, how is he going to the basket, he's going to the cup? And then all of a sudden, he just pulls the shot. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's no, yes. Like, yes. So you like him. So, but I'm happy for the kid because, in my opinion, he's a guy that's worked hard in his game. He's got a lot of flack before this season saying he's not clutch. And throughout this season, he's shown an element of being clutch. And in the postseason, you saw what he did. I mean, taking that shot, that's a shot that you expect somebody like Steph Curry to take. Because he has a crazy jump shot or a player of that elk who can shoot the ball like that. And John Wall, Jay, has improved. But for him to take that shot at that moment, it takes a lot of courage. Not because that's your season. If you miss it, your season is over. You could have took a couple of dribbles and took a pull-up shot and no one would have been mad at you. But you took a three. You took a deep three, and you made it. I just think that shows so much courage, and it showed so much growth from that young man. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen in Game 7. I'm a firm believer in that in Game 7, your real ball has come out. I don't care if it doesn't mean nothing that you're on the road, because Game 7 is nothing but pressure. If you're a baller, you're going to ball. So in my opinion, you know, that's what it's all about. You hear it all the time, a home court advantage. And in Game 7, with teams are, even as these two teams are, it's all about ballers. If you're a true baller, you're going to ball in Game 7. You know what I mean? If you're a true baller.
I wish right now.
That don't mean nothing.
I wish right now I had the we fly high, no lie, we balling. Because right now, you said balling so much there. Now, I'm driving Miami as I'm listening to this game, right? Like, literally, if my employer that pays me the ducats to pay for this house, it's listening, it's okay. I had my headphones on, okay? I'm driving to Miami, and I'm listening to Dave Johnson. And who's the color guy with Dave?
Greg Consor.
He said, I'm thinking I'm going to jump over the announce table. Like, what are you doing? Okay, good shot. He's just saying, like the same thing you said, I'm thinking John Wall to go to the cup, you know, get a foul because, you know, he has this relentless ability to get to the basket. I always will compare him. You know, I think if he was 6'9", 6'10", the best comparison would be LeBron James, in my opinion. He has that speed. He has that kind of defense
tenacity, and that killer instinct. And again, I've ripped him in the past for his choice to go to college at Kentucky, but I've never ripped his ability to play on the basketball court. The injuries are gone. All that's out of the way. He's playing phenomenal basketball. And what he says at the end is, you know, and how dare Boston come into Washington, of all places, wearing all black? Isn't Boston the same team that said, this ain't a robbery? What are they doing? This ain't, it ain't that serious? But then you try to play these mind games and come to Washington wearing the all black? I love it. This is what the NBA playoffs, A, needed, and what has always been about. Micah, when you see this final shot go down between John Wall to get them to game seven, how big was this for the city of D.C.?
You know, D.C. hadn't had a team that, and of course, it's been spread around a lot. I haven't seen the Redskins or the Capitals or the Wizards or the Nationals really make deep runs to the playoffs and since I've been pretty much alive when I started taking sports seriously and started watching. And it's very exciting for a D.C. fan to see more than one team starting to move the needle forward, starting to come together, starting to actually challenge the big dogs, the big boys in their particular sport. And, you know, they have the Wizards have the stars to push over Boston in this series and to at the least look challenging somewhat to Cleveland. I'm not too sure on if the shoe is on the other foot that same thing is going to happen. But for the D.C. family, for everyone in D.C., I am very happy for you. I don't have a dog in this fight, but I'm very happy for you. I'm very happy you have a man who's willing to put a team on his shoulders in John Wall, another man in Bradley Beal who said, look, pay me this money because I believe I'm worth this money. I will show you and prove to you that I'm worth this money. And he has been balling out from the games that I have seen in this playoff series. Yes, I understood it disappeared a couple of times. That happens in playoff series from time to time. But when it counts the most, they stepped up. And let me tell you something. I enjoy this series and the San Antonio-Houston series because there was a lot of stories going around. There was a lot of things, a lot of chippiness, a lot of things getting thrown from both fan bases, a lot of things that have been going back and forth between, Oubre and Olenek, you know, two guys who are actually kind of useless, but, hey, they're fiery and they're chipping, they make you want to watch. And I appreciate that. John Wall hitting that shot in that moment, I was looking at this and I was like, you have that role where you're like, oh, man, I wish that was my team that actually did that. You know, pull up, shoot it. You want your guy to do that. You want your guy who is supposed to be the face of your franchise to deliver in big moments just like that. And honestly, just like I told Wally about Washington closing out Atlanta, I can honestly see Washington closing out Boston because – The things and the stuff that you need to close out a team, that heart, that grit, that guts, there's only two people on the court that really got it. That's John Wall and Isaiah Thomas. After them two, I honestly believe Bradley Beal has it. I don't believe that Horford has it when it comes to prolific scores. After them, I don't believe Avery Bradley has it as much as a Porter. Gortat's like at the bottom of the list. Gortat's funny. But that's just where I am. Now, Wally, of course, you can always feel free to correct me. You are the D.C. buff. You are the basketball buff. But these are my observations as a guy who doesn't even have a dog in the fight. I see who has the heart, who has the grit, and who needs to be shut down for either team to actually win this game tonight. And I'm very excited for your boys in D.C. to finally get to a conference final, bro, to finally break through that glass ceiling. And like Mike said, this ain't the fabled garden where, you know, you had to go through Larry Bird's Celtics or Bill Russell Celtics. By the way, that stat, can't wait to talk about that. You talk about that before I get off, man. That stat was disrespectful to Bill Russell. But anyway, and Mike Knox knows what stat I'm talking about. But it's not the same. It's not the same atmosphere. It's a great atmosphere. It's a championship atmosphere. But it's not the exact same atmosphere as the former garden. So can we really say that Boston's going to have the same type of advantage with the same type of mental edge when the history at that particular location is not the same as the previous one?
No, I would say this, Micah, to your point about you're talking about, you know, what the Celtics do have. Avery Bradley has pedigree because, you know, he's been there. He played with the Big Three So he's been experienced. He's been in the wars. So he's been involved. So I had to compare him to Otto Porter. He has the upside. He has the up on Otto Porter because at the end of the day, Otto Porter is still fresh to this. You know, this is like his second year in the postseason. Second time in the postseason of showing any putting any productivity. So between those two, I would go with Avery Bradley. But I'm with you though. I think John Wall has the dog. Obviously Isaiah Thomas has that dog right
Absolutely.
Now. Because throughout the season, he's been missed the fourth quarter. But I just think John Wall has it both ways at both ends because you know one defensively and offensively. You know, you saw what he did down the stretch. He had that key blocking on Isaiah Thomas. He hit the three. So, to me, on both sides of the court, John Wall could be a big problem. I want to see John Wall play defense like he did within the last 2 minutes of that game after Isaiah hit that three. Then we saw the defensive player that John Wall could be. At times, and I understand why he kind of takes plays off defensively, but he has to at the same time because he puts so much energy of setting his team and they're asking him to do so much. But defensively, I want to see it's Game 7. I want to see him put that same type of kind of effort in Game 7 when he's checking Isaiah Thomas. Because I've always said this, that I watched John Wall play defense at Kentucky, and that man strapped. I mean, like, he's one of the best defensive guards, period, in the country. So I know he can do it. And like Mike said, he has the skill set to do it. He called him Baby LeBron. Well, he has the skill set to strap up any point guard in the NBA, any point guard. So I want to see him put that effort on when he's checking Isaiah Thomas. But Bradley Beal is definitely coming. I mean, he had a big three in the fourth quarter in that game too. So his clutchness is coming. But again, it's Game 7. It's who you rely on more. Which star player is going to impose their will more? Will it be the duo of John Wall and Bradley Beal, or will it be Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas? Al Horford has been unstoppable just throughout this whole series of the Washington Wizards. And to me, Al Horford's always been a guaranteed double-double. So it's not like he has the resume. It is what it is. Al Horford is an all-star. So they got to see what they can – if
Multiple.
They can stop Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas. But, Avery Bradley is playing – he's playing the best that he's played at any time in his career right now these last two games. So, if they can negate him from doing that, I think they have a good chance. The Wizards have a good chance of advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, here it is. It's tonight. It's at 8 o'clock from Boston. Starting with you, Wally. Wow. Who wins Game 7? Despite the NBA saying they made a mistake and they should have had an extra second. I'm going to pause. Nickel on the meter. Am I the only man alive here in the sports world that hates when the NBA and NFL and Major League Baseball, whatever league it is, comes back and says they made a mistake? That already happened. So why even bring it up?
It makes you look bad.
It makes the league look bad, Wally, right? And it feels like that they're saying, oh, well, if Boston had an extra second, they'd have won the ball game. You know what I mean?
They did the same thing to the Wizards.
Yeah, it's so many calls.
They did the same thing to the Wizards a couple games ago. Yeah.
Exactly.
You might as well be quiet because it doesn't help anything.
Thank you. Why? Because if you look at it, there's bad calls throughout every game. There's calls they shouldn't have made it in that game. So don't narrow it down. So that the fan base, a certain fan base can say, well, oh, yeah, we got cheated. No. It's human error. Human error. That's what that is. People, and that's another thing about sports that get me. Oh, let's bring in replay. Oh, was that a dirty play? It's basketball. You got to stop trying to take the human error, which is who the people are playing. They're human playing the game to take it away from them. But Game 7 tonight in Boston, we got Isaiah. We got John Wall. I think Isaiah Thomas might go for 45, but we shall see who wins Game 7. I already said on Friday on Lock It Up, and I said it going into the series, that the Washington Wizards win this in seven games. I still believe that from my take. Washington wins tonight. I just think, like you said, when it comes down to the Game 7, home court is kind of out the window, in my opinion. It's about who's going to put on their big boy pants and who wants to go home to their ladies wearing red panties tonight. That's my take. I'm going with Washington with the red uniform. Their girl's going to be wearing red panties tonight. Who you got in Game 7, Wally?
I'm in agreement. I just think that Washington has so much offensive firepower that, I feel like going into Boston, we saw it in the close-up game against Atlanta when, in that game, what they were capable of doing when they looked like they were struggling. So I just think offensively they have more to offer compared to Boston. So I think you'll see players like Otto Porter play better. I believe, in my opinion, you'll see Markieff Morris play well, and those two play well. you got the Wizards going winning the seven playing Cleveland. So that's my prediction.
I think Marquise Morris is the heart and soul of this team. I'm sorry,
he's hilarious.
I'm sorry, Glenn, with Thomas thinking it, that Oubre is the Dennis Rodman of this team. That's like saying that that B.J. Armstrong is the Michael Jordan of the Bulls. It made no sense, okay? And I know you're listening, okay? Don't ever say nothing like that again. That Kelly Oubre is the heart and soul of that team, because that is furthest from the truth I've ever heard, okay? Sorry. Stop it. Just stop right now, okay? Michael, who wins
games?
Yeah,
no.
Okay, Paul.
No. You cannot tell me that did not happen where
that
someone said that Kelly Oubre.
That happened.
Mister, I'm not really that relevant until I push the dude who gave a hard
read. Wait, Mike. Oubre is relevant, though. That I will say. He's not the heart and soul, but he is relevant.
I'm not saying relevant as far as
he said via Twitter that he is the heart of that team. He contributed his heart to Dennis Rodman's heart for the Bulls.
No, you can't compare, you know, a guy who's a decent contributor to Dennis Rodman and say that guy's a heart and soul team, where outside of the three people that I know, or I don't know who Kelly Oubre is, outside of Wally Covington, D.C., I would never know who Kelly Oubre is. But someone's a heart and soul. I knew who Marquise Morris was long before I knew who Kelly Oubre was.
I will say this about Kelly Oubre.
There's no disrespect to Kelly Oubre.
I will say this about Kelly Oubre. He is deemed to be the next up-and-coming player for this team. I'll say that. That's
okay.
Why they draft.
He's going to be a major contributor in the future. A major contributor.
Exactly.
In the future.
A major. Like, the word is that, you know, he's supposed to be Otto Porter's replacement. Put it that way. He's supposed to be Otto Porter's replacement.
That's not a hard thing to do, though. To replace
Otto Porter. Yeah, that's true.
Otto's averaging 14, 15 points a game. We're talking about
I'm sorry. I want to give my prediction. I was just floored by the knowledge that Kelly Oubre is the hardest on the team. When Marquise Morris spoke about toughness, that's when the team got tough. It wasn't when he decided to go ahead and push somebody who gave him a hard screen. But anyway.
1 second. I want to meet her. Floyd off of Twitter, HouseDog4545 says, John, I don't know who the hell is John, but okay. He hears that Boston already has their bags packed for Cleveland, which is a stupid tweet, okay? Because Cleveland would come to Boston, okay? So go ahead with your prediction.
No, that's what they meant. It's like they got their bags packed so they can go get swept. I mean, anyway, I don't believe, Wally, to your point about Bradley, I know he got the experience, I know he's been balling out, but like Draymond Green, there's certain things that certain players are good at consistently and certain things they're not, and I don't think that Avery Bradley's going to be that same score tonight as he's been in the series when they kind of make sure they bottled up Isaiah Thomas and forced him to be a distributor. I think that Avery Bradley is not going to be a big contributor, and because of that, it's going to be up to Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford. And I don't know if Al Horford is going to have an explosive double-double tonight. And Isaiah Thomas is probably going to have to drop 45, which they're not going to let him do, in order for Boston to win. I'm going with the Washington Wizards to see the Cavaliers on Wednesday to be all extra tired and stuff and lose that game one.
Now, I would say this much about the one thing you said. I don't think nobody can stop Isaiah Thomas but Isaiah Thomas. And maybe – am I wrong for saying that, Wally? I mean – I watch the games, but you study the games. But what I see when I watch this kid play, again, I became a bigger fan of his back in college when I heard his name, because it's just easy to be like, well, Isaiah Thomas, what? Then you heard how he got the name because his father lost a bet, right? And then to find out that that's really like Floyd's mentored this guy. So I know that he has the mental makeup for this game seven and for everything else he has dealt with. So am I wrong for saying that I think no one can stop Isaiah but Isaiah and maybe the Stripes?
He's a scorer. I'm a big believer that no one really stops a scorer. So, I mean, like, unless, you know, you can contain them, you can bottle them, you can frustrate them, but you can't really stop a person who's going to take a lot of shots. You know what I mean? Like, if I take 30 shots, I'm going to score, 20-some-odd points, right? So
right.
I'm not going to really stop Isaiah Thomas. And he's relentless. I call him baby AI. You know what I mean? Just he's baby eyes to the way this team is constructed. He's pretty much like Allen Iverson. So I mean, he's gonna score his buckets. But their goal is to make it difficult for him. And I'll say this for the Wizards: the best way to make to limit Isaiah Thomas is to, you know, once you have him, whoever's checking him, put him on a block. It'll make him tired. His jump shot won't be as effective because he'll play with tired legs. So if my game plan is to wear out Isaiah Thomas and put him in the block.
Now, our wonderful statisticians over at Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM came up with Game 7 histories, okay? The Washington Wizards have been in 9 Game 7s. They're 6-3 all time, 3-1 on the road. Last time they won one, however, I don't think many of y'all were born, okay? 1979, the Spurs, okay? And last time they won one was in 1978, the Seattle Supersonics. So there go that history right there. And we don't even have to talk about Boston's Game 7 here. So they're 21-8, 18-4 at home. Last time they won one was at the 76ers back in 2012. And last time they lost one was in 2012 also against the Miami Heat. So there you have it. Those are little statistics for you right there. But I want to get into why we have enough time here left in the program. We want an hour today. We'll have our wrestling talk sometime this week. So we'll bring that back to you guys. Maybe do a post show tomorrow after SmackDown, depending upon Emmy Richmond from the Twitter's availability. You know, he's a new papa and all that stuff. So we walking on his time schedule these days. But it's okay. We will give you your wrestling talk the way you want it. But yesterday, San Antonio, the America's team right now in the playoffs. Can I say that America wants San Antonio to beat Golden State? Anybody
yes.
object to that? Okay.
I don't object.
No, I object. They want Golden State, Cleveland. Nobody wants those things. No. Them being,
you're a liar. You know there's a lot of people right now that want to see the evil empire. Everyone likes to see an evil empire go down.
Stop. Hold on.
They want to see them go down in the finals.
But I cannot listen to that terminology when it's not retaining to the New York Yankees. Sorry. There's only one evil empire. May he rest in peace. Okay, the greatest owner in all professional sports, George Steinbrenner, that's their name. We can't take that from them, okay? But I get what he's saying. I know that the sports, like, once you get out of your hate, remember, I'm your fan's favorite fan and your hater's favorite hater because every fan has some hate inside of them, okay? I give you that. Outside of the hateful fans, which are a lot of people these days, yes, you want to see the rubber match between Cleveland and Golden State. But if it doesn't happen, a lot of people are cheering against them, cheering, like you said on Friday's show, how Pop has done so much with so less. This is the most intriguing. Golden State has gotten 2 years of a pass where people said they played nobody in the playoffs. This is their first, according to fans, even some, you know, even your so-called NBA experts would say this is their first real test in the last 3 years of the playoffs. Last time they played they lost.
OKC was a challenge last year.
They were not only challenged, but they had them beat.
Let me rephrase that. Until you got to the Western Conference Finals, people say they haven't been tested.
Got you. I got you. I'm with you.
My apologies. I got you around, guys. You're the crew. You know what I'm saying? Huh. Just don't drink my orange juice. I don't care about apple juice. Just don't drink my orange juice. Okay? So, but anyway, Kawhi Leonard, 28 points, 8 rebounds, and just 2.5 quarters. Kevin Durant, 10 points, having a struggling time. The Golden State Warriors are struggling. Then all of a sudden, this human – remember how that commercial that Fuller had about Albert Pujols being the machine? The machine on the basketball court, it has to be Kawhi Leonard. He twists his ankle. He ties it up. Coach sits him down. He says, no, put me back in. Am I the only person who thinks that he ignored Greg Popovich when he went back to that score table? Because I saw Greg Popovich calling him back. Okay? And he kept going, okay? That is one hell of a basketball player, and he is the type of basketball player we love. He has that Allen Iverson competitiveness, that Kobe Bryant. You know what I'm talking about, that kumse kumsa. No, that's retained for homosexuality. I apologize. That je ne sais quoi, right? There it is. I said it right that time. I'm not from France, but I know how to speak a little bit. Okay, I can do anything besides kissing. I know a little French, okay? So he's that basketball player. He goes out, though, and Golden State says, and it just completely turned the game around. Wally, what's up with that?
I feel bad for Kawhi, man. I do because he did ball his butt off. My issue with that whole game and down the stretch. I mean, obviously, you know, LaMarcus was like
playing 10 minutes at a time.
But at the same time, I'm watching him. Like, your best offense is to go through LaMarcus. That's your best offense.
Exactly.
And you win it. Like, the last – like, before – So the last couple minutes, I mean, not
they
the
went
last
to Simmons an awful lot.
They went to Simmons, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, he's not going to score on Klay Thompson like that. Because Klay Thompson is a top-notch defender. He's not Simmons is not that offensive player. He's not going to score on Draymond Green if he has him on him on a switch. Or Kevin Durant, who's a very improved defender now. Like, KD's now a good defender.
Well, I think KD's always kind of been a good defender personally. I just think he's never been, you know, touted as one. But I think he's always been
a good defender. Yeah, I got you. Well, he's a solid defender. LaMarcus has had about 28 points already. All right. Now, granted, again, I've seen that when he got doubled, he looked iffy. But at the same time, you got offense out of LaMarcus because they had to double. They had to double. Draymond wasn't going to play him straight up. He wasn't. He's going to get some doubling help. So if you do that, you force the defense to adjust. By forcing someone, if you're double, someone's open. That's best. That's your best offense. You can't rely on on Simmons to go one-on-one. Manu Ginobili, I will give you that, but you can't rely on Simmons. And I just thought that down the stretch, some of the role players that looked good in the first second quarter and even a little bit of that third, they started getting flustered. And then KD and Steph took advantage. I'm not putting anybody else. KD and Steph took advantage. I'm not going to put anybody else like Thompson. KDM took over. And that's what happened. And a lot of people are going to blame, they're going to say, like, Kawhi. And it's very right. If Kawhi was there, they would have won. But there are things in that game they could have done differently to me, and that still would have had this team win the game. I don't care what anybody tells me. Like, I'm going to put Aldridge on the block, and I'm going to say, you know what? Give me some offense, big fella. Because at the end of the day, when he still had a couple – at one stretch, he had that and one. He had a couple of big baskets, even when Golden State was making that run. So you go to him. You go to the guy that you paid that much money to. You paid him that money. You didn't pay Simmons that money. Give him the ball and let him rock with it. You saw what he did against the Houston Rockets. Continue to add on it. Add on confidence. Add on momentum. And I felt like down the stretch they didn't do it.
Let me ask you this question. As you retain that, because again, Solar Sports was following your Twitter. I'm following your Twitter, and you were completely. Is there something to say about maybe? Could that have been LaMarcus's fault? Because watching that game, I didn't see him demanding and demanding and asking for the ball. Also, and I listened to Steph Curry's comments at the end, which, by the way, I love Steph Curry. I do now also hate this team. And I remember, shout out to Ashley Baker here at Fox Sports Radio. Said, so people are going to hate the team because a bunch of bandwagon jumpers. Unfortunately, that's what happened to Miami. When a bunch of people start liking somebody out of nowhere, they become the most hated team. That's just really hasn't been sports for years that I can remember outside of like your traditionals, like your Bulls and you know, either the Bulls or your, you know, traditional team. People tend to hate them. So, but Steph Curry after the game says, well, they didn't do anything different. They're going to do the same thing no matter whether it's Kawhi in there or Kawhi's not in there. So was that maybe Pop not making a adjustment to give LaMarcus the ball, or would you give that more to LaMarcus for not maybe demanding the ball more, Wally?
I think that when you're a post player, you're only guaranteed as a post player, you're not a guard, right? So, I mean, LaMarcus actually got this. He was trying to get a position. I mean, you could tell even on some of the plays, they weren't designed for LaMarcus, and then LaMarcus was more on top of the key. It wasn't the play designed for LaMarcus Aldridge. It was more, he's at the free throw line. So you could tell it was like, okay, four top, I'd say three on the top, one on the block. And at times that was Pau Gasol. And then you had Simmons having the ISO play. So those plays weren't designed for LaMarcus. And that was by design. They weren't. The only thing I will fault LaMarcus on in terms of, I think what he did that was jacked up is that when Manu ran the high screen and roll with him, they ran it often. That play was open every time with Manu because Manu gave him the ball on the high screen. LaMarcus made he made the extra pass, and he shouldn't have made the extra pass. LaMarcus hit a roll to the basket and took the pull-up jump shot. That way he can avoid the charge because I saw that, you know, Draymond was getting ready to slide for a charge on a number of occasions. But LaMarcus could have did because he's a knockdown mid-range shooter, could have took one dribble and pulled up and hit that jump shot consistently. I thought that he kept making the extra pass to the wing for that open three, either that was Patty Mills or even a Ginobili, instead of taking that shot. I felt like if he had took those shots, the outcome could have been a little different.
Well, King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter, our social media to the stars, because this is to show the pros and icons. Listening to, shout out to my man Kenny Anderson, big Boston Celtics fan. We had him on today. Ran into some things he had to take care of. We're gonna have to have him on, you know, being a former Boston Celtics fan. Shout out to him as well. He just inboxed me. But he says it was LaMarcus Aldridge's fault not demanding the ball. And so, I mean, I look at it like this great coach and Greg Popovich, and that's why I direct this to you, Micah. Is this a case of greatness, which is Pop, thinking that no matter what, like Steph Curry said, it's just a system. It doesn't matter who they plug in there, because I don't care anybody say. I've watched San Antonio for the last 20-some-odd-plus years, okay? And, yes, they've done things with different players, but I've seen different playing styles with this team over the years. There's been years where it was mono. There's been years where it was Duncan. There's been years where, you know, I've seen it change. But it didn't change today once Kawhi went out the game. Do you think this was on Pop or, you know, some of the other players that didn't step up?
Well, you know, in this case, I think what has happened is that Pop's system is a system, and there's some basic concepts there. You know, a lot of people won't agree with me on this. They may not agree with me on this, but I see a lot of similarities between Pop's system and the Golden State Warriors offensive system, and how, as far as ball movement, making sure that ball's getting there, and if you need to do the extra pass, do the extra pass. And I think I have to go with what Wally said. There were times when you had the best possible shot and the best possible outcome, but then the team, the members of the team, LaMarcus Aldridge, for example, would make that extra pass when it was not necessarily needed. You know, you have the ability at this time to start knocking down shots because you're like the last leg star on that team. And you have the ability to knock down shots and to create a mismatch. And you know what we just talked about, Isaiah Thomas. Well, honestly, the way that LaMarcus Aldridge has been going, Draymond Green can't stop him. Draymond Green can't stop him. He can contain him. But LaMarcus Aldridge, every game this series, if it goes 4, 5, 6, or 7, which I think is going to go 7, he can drop 25.
Kawhi Leonard cannot play in this series, and more than likely – he will not play tomorrow, which, again, Paul's not even a nickel, a penny in the meter. The NBA, I think you're retarded with your playoff schedule. I said it. I don't care. You don't pay the money to me. How dare you have a game tomorrow and they don't play again the Saturday night? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that didn't make any sense to me either. Just what's the point? It's so frustrating. But you know what? I understand what you're coming from with that. But without Kawhi Leonard, we've seen that they know how to play good quality team defense. They know how to be able to make their role players get the rotation, get the switches down, so that way they can make sure they contain as best they can the offensive juggernaut that we know as Golden State. I mean, with Kawhi on the floor, yes, we saw a difference. They were up by an unnecessary amount. But when you're playing Golden State with four different people that can score on you at any point in time, like, just imagine if Klay Thompson actually got going. If he actually got going in that game, one guy already shot 30, the other guy already shot 40. If Klay Thompson was scoring too, I mean, you can go up 20 on Golden State. That doesn't affect them. You know, maybe they'll get flustered if you go up 30 on them. But even then, 10-3, then they're back in it. So it's a team defensive concept, and I think as long as San Antonio plays good team defense, I think they're fine. Yeah, they can go over Kawhi.
Okay.
The only difference is that there's more firepower instead of just James Harden's beard.
I don't think they
now it's more than just James Harden.
They're not winning on Kawhi.
I think it's impossible. I have no one that can create their own shot like him, Wally.
Yeah, I said the same thing to somebody on Twitter, and I was saying like they were saying that they need Kawhi. And I'm like, yeah, they need Kawhi to be San Antonio. But the thing is, everybody on deck to beat Golden State. They can't miss Aldridge. They can't miss Kawhi. Like, to beat Golden State, you need more than one score. We saw with LeBron in the postseason. We saw this with LeBron. Like, one player cannot be Golden State. Like, let's put that out. Like,
no.
One star player cannot.
It has
be
to be
Golden
a team,
State, and that's the issue.
One star player can't beat five. That's not what Bundes was.
LeBron
Who?
James did. He's saying LeBron did last year. That's what he's trying
he
to say.
No, Kyrie did that.
Kyrie's the one who finished the job, and Kyrie only had half a leg.
But people forget that. That Cleveland team was not at 100% last year. That's why I picked them this year to win a championship. I really did. Go ahead.
They won 100% last year, and they came back from Golden State's in trouble.
Yeah, Kevin Love. So I'm saying, like, you can't one man can't beat this team. So even his greatest and his greatest Pop. But again, I'm gonna say this, man. To me, Pop is the Jesus of coaches. So if anybody can do it, he can do it. I'm just saying. If anybody can do it, he can do it. He's the Jesus of coaches. Like he saves careers, man. He saves careers. But he saves you. Like, but he puts you in the water. He baptizes you. He saves you. I don't, you can't tell me anything different.
As we have this 15 minutes of the program, we're going an hour today. I know that I set my clock ahead to Melbourne, Australia time so that I can get the rest of my game early. What about the rest of you guys? It does come out tonight. Injustice 2 does come out tonight. I'm excited about that. But before we get into that, and this might be a little hard for you guys, especially you, Wally. And I'm going to start with you, Wally, just because I know it's going to be hard for you. But I always believe the integrity of your opinions, Wally. I really do believe that. Yesterday, in my opinion, the greatest Yankee of all time gets his number retired. Derek Jeter to me did it better than anybody. I am almost on the fence, and I mean this when I say this, and thinking that he is the greatest baseball player probably ever played a game. He spent 20 years in the league and never once had a sub-500 record. He was a constant professional, never in trouble. Hell, we've all seen the diamond of the women that he's dated, okay? Derek Jeter to me is the consummate pro. Wally, your take on respect with a two, Derek Jeter.
I mean, I think Derek Jeter is one of the best shortstops. I mean, it's different. He's one of the best shortstops to ever do it. I guess you could say that. I have a big – I mean, well, for me, you mentioned George Steinbrenner, right? Let's put in the reference. You said he's the best owner ever, right? Why?
I think so, yes.
Ever?
Because I think he's the best owner because he's always knew how to take his money – and reinvest it into his team, where a lot of owners don't do that. Mark Cuban tries it just in the pan out form because it's Dallas is not a basketball city.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's why I agree with you. Like, and that's the thing that Derek Jeter has always been surrounded with a great team. So it's like he performed too within that great team. So it's hard to knock that. He performed, and especially in the postseason, when you have other players in baseball that haven't always been stacked up within pitching staff and even, you know, from 1 to 9 great players. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you can mention people in the past that you can mention like a Ken Griffey Jr. or like a Barry Bonds for a while. Like, there are players out there that haven't had the players that Derek Jeter got to play with. But again, I won't call Derek Jeter the best player ever. I wouldn't call him the best shortstop ever. Derek Jeter. I'm with you. I'm talking about a lot of people, not you. A lot of people want to rate Derek Jeter for whatever. I will say this, though, and this is one thing that I give Derek Jeter so much respect for. When it came to postseason, if anybody being clutch and knowing the moment and playing baseball so hard to hit a baseball, he had to be one of the more clutchest baseball players I've ever seen in my life. And that's the truth. Like, that I won't hate on. Like, that you won't ever hear me. Like, being an Orioles fan, watching this dude and knowing that, all right, if a runner's in scoring position, it's in a ninth inning, and Derek Jeter's at the plate, you're like, darn, like something sad's about to happen. You know what I mean? So in that regard, I think he's one of the more clutch baseball players I've ever seen play the game.
You know what? I love this guy. He said, darn. Micah, Papa, not the one who's the Jesus of coaching, but the one who's the father of little Micah. Your opinion of Derek Jeter, respect with a two.
I mean, he all right. Watch this though. This one's funny. Right? Let's really think about it right now, right? When it comes to Derek Jeter's greatness, individual greatness, right? Why is it that Derek Jeter, even by non-Yankee fans, people who are Red Sox fans, recognize the greatness of this guy, right? Tom Brady can't go in a certain location without getting called certain names.
Can we stop that? Because Tom Brady has the benefit. Tom Brady, I don't know who's hated more, him or LeBron James. You know,
That's what I'm saying. This is where I'm going. So you have guys that are put into the annals of conversation as the greatest of all time for what they do or in their sport. And I noticed that Derek Jeter doesn't have any real hate outside of when he was a Yankee playing, and then you'll boo him because he was on the team. But since he retired, it's like, no, man, he's great. He's fantastic. I think about it like this. I think the reason why is because he's one of those guys that played long enough to be in several different eras and he was never part of those eras. So he had a, he has one of the cleanest records, one of the most unquestionable records of any baseball player with his type of longevity. He has the most unblemished record when it comes to that aspect. So from a physical standpoint, that drug test standpoint, that steroid standpoint, he has nothing. So he has nothing on that. When it comes to the choices, when it comes to the choices of the ladies that he date, we haven't seen him with anything less than a 9. Maybe he had
a 9. Who was the 9?
I don't think he had a 9.
Who was the 9? Cameron Diaz. And he had Cameron Diaz in her prime. Okay.
Cameron Diaz. But I think that. So that
was the 9. Mila Kunis. Miley Kunis.
It was Tori Wilson. It was a wrestler. It was Tori Wilson. And I give Tori Wilson about an eight.
You can have that.
Now, granted, I also heard that he had a gift that kept on giving from so some of those ladies are burning in the – anyway, but –
Listen,
you know,
we're going to stop that right there. If he had to clap, okay, and avoid the – where's my sound bite when I need it? Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. If he had to clap, he wouldn't have had all them fine-ass women. That's what I'm
saying. No, he didn't. That's not what he was accused of. It was a big herp. It was that one.
Yeah, right. The herp. He didn't have the herp either. If he had the herp, he wouldn't have had it. But
you know, because of all the good that he has done for the sport of baseball, I can see why he's getting rated so high. It's because of his reputation to go along with his play.
I'm gonna say it again. I hate the Yankees. Well, I hate Derek Jeter. But he's one hell of a basketball. Baseball player. He just was. Even the flip that annoyed the H-E double hockey stick out of me was awesome. Okay, his 3,000th hit on a home run, incredible.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was just
all world to baseball. I know people like you said and you were mentioning they wouldn't put him up there to Ken Griffey and Barry Bonds and those kind of guys. But everybody that I can think of, from Pete Rose to even another Yankee great, DiMaggio and the great Bambino himself, had baggage. Derek Jeter has never had baggage. You know what I'm saying?
And I
think that helps. I think when you're looking at today's sports world, where we're very critical and we will nitpick anything.
Overly critical.
Very overly critical. I think this guy has done it with, like you said too, Micah, without any of that criticism, which to me makes it amazing. But we got about 7 minutes left, so we will, for one hot moment, dive into wrestling. While you can stay here, don't go nowhere, because we're going to end up with the best and worst of the weekend. When wrestling breaks kayfabe, or when they don't break kayfabe, that is the question. The world knew that Braun Strowman was already injured and was going to be out, but the WWE couldn't help themselves. They had Roman Reigns come back last week on Raw and put out Braun Strowman. I personally loved it. I loved it. Tonight on Raw, however, we get Dean Ambrose defending his Intercontinental title against The Miz and Mercy. Let me just say this much, guys. If you don't watch Total Divas, I suggest you watch it. I'm sorry. I am a huge fan of The Miz personality, and the person that he is makes me love his character even more. Samoa Joe says to Seth Rollins, it is over when I say it is over. Jeff Hardy battles Sheamus tonight. A lot of things on Raw tonight, as we have the tag team titles set for Extreme Rules, Hardy Boys. I'm looking at the picture they got of Matt Hardy. He's completely broken on his photo right with his smile. He's like a kid on prom night just waiting to get to prom to get over so he can have sex for the first time with his gimmick. He cannot wait for it to happen. But Raw has a new opening monologue, and I'm hearing that tomorrow we will finally see the debut of the New Day on SmackDown. Micah, what are you excited about wrestling tonight? Real quick, about 2 minutes.
All thing I'm excited about is, can they book a story without one their two biggest draws? Can they book it without Roman? Can they book it without Braun? That's all I look for. Can you be serious about the rest of your roster and stop making your roster top heavy so much when it comes to the focus of your show. And that's all I expect. SmackDown is able to do that. For crying out loud, they made Jinder Mahal important. So if you can make Jinder Mahal important on your show, I'm not worried about you not having John Cena or anything. You ain't got no big stars. You can't do it like your big stars. But Raw has proven that without big stars, the big names that they want to push, that they don't really book the rest of their show as seriously. And I'm not saying they haven't had good Raws and haven't had good wrestling shows. I'm just saying that's what I've saw. That's what I've seen. So I just want to make sure that tonight is a good show from the standpoint of, hey, we can give you a good quality product without having Braun Strowman killing somebody, which is always hilarious, or Roman Reigns, you know, coming out to be the big dog with his eyes going left and right in opposite directions. So,
no, I hate
you know,
guys, so much for no Roman. Roman Reigns is professional wrestling, people. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
Whatever. Yeah, don't be a washer. Hey, don't be a washer of basketball.
The only thing I wash is my own. Thank you very much. And maybe occasionally, maybe one of my sons, because they go outside and get a little dirty and stuff like that. But that's not that's straight fatherhood, okay? But listen, let's go ahead and get up out of here, guys. Let's end it like this.
Try to be better, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it.
Wally, don't let me down this time, Wally. I know you know the words, Wally. It's been over a year. Come on! Stay up with us! Everybody! 1, 2, 3, come on! You're the best host around! Wally, go ahead. Best and worst of the weekend, my friend.
The best is that we get to see Game 7 for the Washington Wizards, what happened over the weekend with John Wall and that shot. And also, worst of the weekend, my O's being swept by the Royals. I'm like, I hate the Royals, like, with the passion. Like, these O's ain't royal. I can't
do it. I will never forget when you told me that. These O's ain't royal.
I can't deal with them. So, yeah.
I forgot about that song. We need to get that thing on the radio. Micah, best and worst of the weekend, my friend.
Best of the weekend was taking some students that I teach to a competition and them getting a superior rating, which is pretty much equivalent to a first place. 20 against the world, ladies and gentlemen. 20 against the world. You can produce great sound with just 20 people. And also, sacrificing sleep to make sure that all four of my moms, two grandmas, two moms, had a fantastic Mother's Day. I even baked an Oreo pound cake, started throwing down. I went all the way.
Damn.
Sound
good.
Right.
Oreo pound cake?
Yeah, man. The worst of the weekend, though, and you seen the tweet.
You might be the Martha Stewart of Perfect Plex. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man. The worst of this weekend, though, is my weight. Me being too fat to ride the rise at Six Flags America in D.C.
To couple
with the fact that they rigged the claw game, I would have had an Xbox One, Mike. I won it two times. Two times I won it, and the claw let go. Halfway up, the claw let go with the box sitting right there in it. I could have had an Xbox One.
And would have been playing Injustice tonight. Listen, guys, best and work of the weekend for me was simply Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife, Mrs. Knox, as well as my mother behind me right here, Mama Knox and my grandmother in heaven. I believe I saw a post, if a rose can grow in heaven, God, can you please give my mother and my grandmother 24 from me? Also, the worst of the weekend, I'm with you, Wally, and my wife should say, but it's okay. Y'all won the World Series. I don't care. Right now, the Chicago Cubs are under 500 for the first time in 5 years. I can't take it. I'm being honest, guys. They completely suck right now. Listen, guys, we out of here. Hopefully we see you tomorrow. But if not, follow us on Twitter. You know where you at after that. We out of here. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. What's up with that? Go with her!
crack.
Great cash, homie.